Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shula for the Evangelist of the Hour, and I praise God that you have joined together with me on the broadcast for another midday message, and this day is going to be entitled God's Purpose for You. God's Purpose for You and I. I actually should have put the I in there, and that includes myself, because God does have purpose for me and you as well. We want to talk about that today. Scriptures let us know that God has purpose for us. And we know we're very familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, where God has promised us a good future. And so we want to get a little bit deeper than that. And so we want to talk about that. So let's go before the throne of grace, and right after that we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for another glorious opportunity to experience your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, the increase of joy in our hearts, the peace in our spirit, in our minds. God, we just come before your throne to just worship you, to praise you, God, to do our daily devotion, Lord, together, collectively as a body of Christ in unity of faith. We honor you today, God, and ask that you would take delight in what we're doing to bring you glory in the earth, God. Father, we ask that you search our hearts and see if there be anything, God, that's there that doesn't glorify you, any thoughts in our minds, Lord, and that you would just cleanse and cleanse us and from all righteousness and purify us and make whole that we can bring glory in the earth. So we say thank you today, God, for every good and perfect gift that comes from above. Thank you for every trial and every test that we experience, God. Because, Lord, we know that you're God that is able, Lord, to bring us through it, to strengthen us through every trial and tribulation that we face. So, Lord, we're just asking you today that you take delight and get the glory out of our lives. And, Lord, that you would just bring us into that full place of restoration and giving you all of our best and worshiping God. And refresh our spirit, refresh our minds, refresh our hearts, God, that we can be able to bring you glory. So we honor you today and love you, God, and ask that you will continue to give your word. Pray for those that are sick, that are seeking healing, that you would just bless them, God, and touch their bodies. Let them know, Lord God, that you're the balm of Gilead, that you're able to heal, you're able to deliver, you're able to strengthen them, God. You're able to give them peace and bring them into that place, God, of restoration. So, Father God, we just pray for our nation, the leaders in our country, and in our churches, you will rule in the affairs of men. And, Lord, that you would just have your way in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, we say thank you. Amen. Amen, and again, thank you. We're talking about God's purpose for you and I. God sure has purpose for our lives, and we just thank him today. We want to always bring him some glory and get into his word to find out more about him, to hear the Lord speak to us. So we want to first again our scripture here at Proverbs chapter 19. You have Bible. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 19. Got a lot of scriptures we're going to read, so we're going to get right in scriptures. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many of you are very familiar with this scripture, but it's like a key scripture. And it says, there are many devices in a man's heart. The translation says, many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that you're saying. It is the counsel, it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans of the man's heart, but God's purpose that will prevail over our decisions, over what we want, over how we think it should be. That's the sovereignty of God that rules in the affairs of men. And he rules in our hearts. And he guides us and he directs us in paths in which we should take. Because he knows what's best for us, and we are created with purpose. glorify him. So that sometimes when we make decisions that is not a part of God's plan, God knows how to override it. Sometimes people feel like they made the wrong decision. Well, you know, God knows how to put you back on the right path. He has detours, divine detours that he put us on because he's making sure that what he has already determined, because he knows the end from the beginning, and he's making sure that his purpose and his will is fulfilled in our lives. Sometimes the detour, the divine detour God put us on, we don't like it. We don't really understand it. But we must give him glory in it because we know, again, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, he have a great plan for our lives. So we don't want to be dismayed and be discouraged. We don't want to give up and faint in our hearts when God has a divine detour for our lives. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And guess what? He will still do what he said he will do. And so in those times of divine detours, you have to continue to maintain and be strong and hold your faith up and keep believing. Because God does not change his mind about his purpose and his plan for our lives. Now, another scripture also says there's no variableness of changing in him. And when he couldn't swear by any other, he swore to himself. No one greater and can keep covenant with the other than God. So now we're going to look at Proverbs 16 and 9. And it says here, a man's heart devises his way. Again, translation, a man's heart plans his way. But the Lord directs his steps. We can come up with all types of plans and visions and dreams that we really want to do. But the difference in the planned dreams that's in our heart is basically the passion that God has put there that moves us in direction where we know that God has purposed this for our lives. Sometimes we can have a desire, and he does give us desires of our heart, and that's separate from what we're talking about today because we're talking about God's purpose. We're talking about God's purpose. Now, talking about the desires, but however, I want to touch on that so we can distinguish and differentiate the desires from the purpose that's in our lives. See, God will give us the desires of our heart, but that may not be his purpose. He'll still give you desires if it's his will. The Bible says according to his will. But his purpose will come to pass in your life when you are a believer. He will bring forth that purpose. He has spoken it. The Bible says, and you know what? Who can make it void? No one can make it void. It shall not come back void. That purpose which God has planned for your life, that will come to pass. It will come to pass because God has spoken before the world began. He has already, from the foundation of the world, spoken it to be in existence in your life. So it doesn't matter how it looks, what path you're on, how the detours, the divine detours seem like it's taking. You don't understand what's going on. God will bring his word past. Because, see, there are things on that path and that purpose in which he's called you to, that lessons you have to learn, wisdom that needs to be gained, experience that needs to give you patience, that tribulation is working it all for good. So we don't never give up, and you don't never faint just because it seems like it's taking longer than what you expected. Because we don't have a pattern on God to make him hurry up. Now, he can haste to perform his word anytime he wants. Hallelujah. And we can pray, ask God, hasten to perform your word in our lives, Lord. He still is going to do it at his own discretion, at his own time, when he feels like it. Hallelujah. You can't reach God. You can't move God until he's ready to be moved. Now, he'll hear our cries. He'll hasten to perform his word. It's still going to be according to his perfect will because some things have to continue to pan out. It has to be revealed. is not time yet. Even when Jesus came in a dispensation of time, God had a direct time to manifest Jesus into the earth, to reveal the glory of God and salvation, redemption through his blood. So it's always that dispensation that God has set time. Like now I arrive, he will do this and he will do that. So we have to be on God's time. So it's important for us to remember that. Because if you don't really think, you know, on these terms about the dispensation of God and moving in your life and his timing and purpose for your life, you will get discouraged. You have to know for sure. That's why the Bible says, understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. Because in that, he will show you. And he will show you when you're getting closer to what he wants to feel in your life, at least for that glory, that next level of dimension of glory for what he wants you to do in the earth. Because we go from glory to glory. Once God reveal and bring forth into the place of destiny, okay, well, then there's another level. There's a higher dimension for the next thing that God wants to do in life. So we want to look at another scripture here. Another scripture tells us, and I didn't write it down because a lot of scriptures we're not going to be able to go to, but I want you, you can look it up yourself after the broadcast because we want to be able to get all of the scriptures in. So I'll just come out. The Bible tells us to say not what you're going to do today and tomorrow, but that we should say if the Lord will. Oh, yeah. Because we don't know all the plans that God has for each day. We know he's with us. We know he's before us. He's gone before us. He's our very warrior guard, and he's also have gone before us to prepare the way. So we don't really need to be so determined on what we're going to do tomorrow. So many times we forget to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, if he's ordering our steps, there's people you have to meet. There's things you have to do for his will to come to pass, his purpose to come to pass in life. So we always say, if the Lord's will. We always have to say, if the Lord's will. Now, we look at a scripture here in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go there. I think it was a scripture we taught on earlier this week, or perhaps last week. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at verse 27. God bless you all, and thank you again for tuning in. If you're just not tuning in, we're talking about God's purpose for you and I. So Isaiah chapter 14, and we want to look here at verse 20. It's upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. You see nations talking about people. Verse 27, for the Lord of hosts has purpose. And who shall disannul it? Basically, who shall annul it? Who shall make it void? And his hand stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who's going to turn back God's hand when he has already decreed something? He said, his word shall not come back void. He sent his word, and it shall not come back void. Who's going to turn God's hand around? Who's going to stop God from doing anything in your life that he's already planned for you? And that's why we have to elevate our faith, to believe God, to trust God, to know that God has our lives. He lays us in balance. There's no evil prayers or anything that is formed against you should prosper. There's nothing nobody can do when God get ready to release every blessing in your life, when he get ready to heal your body. There's no principality, power, demons in heaven or earth, in the heavenlies nor the earth, that can prevent God from doing good in our lives. So any type of setback that you have is always a comeback. Any type of thing you experience in your life is always to bring God glory. He wants the glory out of our lives, and he's not finished with us. Now, we're reminded of the story of Jonah. But before we get to Jonah, let's look at another scripture, most of us here, because we're going to take a little minute on Jonah here. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 46 and 10. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says, declare the end from the beginning. and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand forever, and I will do all my pleasures. Mm-hmm. See, God does want. And he knows the beginning from the end, and that's why he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible says he's already declared the end from the beginning. It's like the stage is already set, and we're just acting it out. And so when script is read wrong or done wrong, he knows how to put it back like it should be. Take us on that divine detour. Put us back on the path in which he's called us on. Nothing can ever stop your destiny. Nothing and no one can ever stop your destiny. That's a good place in God. Because in that, we commune with God. That's why prayer and worship and being in his presence is so important. Because we're communing with God concerning the things that he has already decreed and declared for our lives. We should never walk around amiss where we don't know really what's going on or what's happening or the plans that God has for our lives. At some point, understand converts that come to the Lord, they just learning the Lord. They don't really know how to discern God's voice, and we pray for you, and that's understandable. We're not coming down on people because they don't know the will of the Lord. No, that's far from what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that as they continue to grow in Christ, grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ, they can develop a relationship where you can discern and sense the presence of God in directing steps for a purpose in which he has called you for. Now, we all are ambassadors for Christ. We all are called to evangelize. But there are some people that's raised up specifically for the prophetic gift, specifically for a pastoral gift, specifically apostleship. But we're all called to testify and evangelize the gospel. But you may have a strong anointing to evangelize. You may have a strong anointing to do missions work in foreign countries. That's your purpose. You feel it. It's a passion. God pulls you whether you want to do it or not. God will pull you and woo you in that way in which you're supposed to be walking in that divine purpose for which he called you to, especially after you have become a believer. So, now, let's read Psalms 33 and 11. Psalms 33 and 11 here. We're doing pretty good on time. Doing pretty good on time. We're talking about God's plan, his purpose for you and I. Understand it. So we look at Psalms 33, verse 11. It says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. I want to start at verse 10. Look at verse 10, because this is what he does to the heathens. Psalm 33, verse 10 says, the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to nothing. The advice of the people, none effect. See, this right here is what you should hold on to all your life. Because there are people that plan and pray and think about your downfall. And they really, really, really want it to happen. I mean, you're just surprised what type of evil spirits out here in the hearts and minds of people. They really think that. Even people that you know that they think you are not aware of it. You can't discern whether or not they're your enemies or whether they really love you or whatever. But it may not be life. I don't know. But just saying for those of us that does have these surroundings. And I'm telling you, the Bible says be weary when all men speak well of you. So you do have enemies. We do have enemies. We do have those that do not wish us well. But here's what the scriptures is telling us. That he brings the counsel of the heathen, the wicked, people. He bring it to nothing. All the counsel, all their scheming, all their slandering, all the backbiting, all their evil praying, he brings it to nothing. Like, nothing they think about you or nothing they say or do or pray about you will not happen. Because they're evil. It's evil. And God overrules the power of Satan. Heart is desperately wicked. Deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. But what God is telling us is that there's nothing that no evil spirit can do that will detour his divine plan for your life. See, there's a weight in the atmosphere, in the spirit. See, there's always that weight of evil that tries to weigh you or be around you. That's why the prayer, you got to get in there and pierce the darkness. He's given us the tools, you know, because God just want to get it off of you. He already knows what his plan is for your life. Like he told Daniel, I heard you first day prayed. So he sent the angel to comfort him, to let him know what was going to happen to Jerusalem, to Israel. He already know. So he want us to be in sync, connect with him corporately and pray so that it can easily come to pass. So like he can easily fill us with his spirit to understand his will for our lives. So now I want to look at Jonah. We talk about the story of Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to the people and tell them to repent. Well, that wasn't something Jonah wanted to do. But see, God has purpose in saving people. And that's the ultimate reason God has given purpose to save others as well. Your blessings and everything that God bless you with and bring you into that full place of your destiny and prosperity, it is to bless somebody else. It is to bring God's glory in the earth. It is to lift up Jesus. It's just not for us to glorify ourselves. It is to bring God glory in the earth in saving and redeeming people. So he told Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to do it because he said, oh, that great wicked city, they're not going to repent. So when he finally went, after God had to throw him in the belly of the whale and all the stuff, you know, he finally went. And so after he preached to the people and don't repent, he, to his surprise, the whole nation of Nineveh repented. Even the animals and everybody went on a fast because they heard the word of the Lord and feared God. So that's why we can't look at people from the outside or what they're doing to say they ain't gonna never change. You don't know what people's heart feels. You don't know the sensitivity of their heart when they hear the word. When they heard the word, a fear came over them. They may have had a dream just before, or, you know, they just felt weary and leery and needed repentance. So they were glad, and the whole nation of Nineveh repented. But when Jonah found out they repented, Jonah was angry. Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent. How hard was that in his heart? So when he finished preaching, basically, he went and built up him some type of place where he can relax. He wanted to relax, you know, put his feet up. Let's look at it. Jonah, chapter 4. Let's look at it real quickly here. Let's look at what Jonah did. And we're still talking about God's purpose that can't be hindered. This is what I'm reading Jonah 4 is to show you. How things can be set in our heart to do things a certain way. And God will change it because there's still some things he want to take you through and make you experience. So we look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. I want to look at verse 5. Let's look at verse 1. Let's start at verse 1 because then we can get a little bit more of what's going to happen here. The 4 verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Well, no, I tell you what. We're going to see what he was angry about. If you read verse chapter 3, verse 10, Jonah was angry because the people in the city of Nineveh repented. Look what it says. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God saved Nineveh. The evil that God was going to overthrow Nineveh with, God didn't do it because the whole place repented. All of the people repented. And so now let's go back to chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah was, can you believe this? He literally had an attitude because God saved these people in Nineveh. Can you really believe that? He was exceedingly angry. Verse 2 says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Basically, he told God, didn't I say this? When I was yet in my country, I said this. This was Jonah talking to God. Now, look how Jonah talking to the Lord. He said, didn't I tell you this? Didn't I say this? Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. He's talking about, this is the reason I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great in kindness, and repented thee of the evil. Jonah has the nerve to tell God, I know that I said this before. I told you this before I left Russia. And I knew that because you are good, gracious, loving God, that you was going to save them and all this. You was going to be good and you weren't going to do nothing bad to them. So why did I have to go in anyway? This is Jonah's attitude towards the people of Nineveh repentant. He really wanted to see them be destroyed. So verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Now, what kind of saying is this? He's angry because God didn't destroy those people. Verse 4 says, then said the Lord, you do well to be angry. Doest thou well to be angry? God is asking him a question. Why are you angry? Verse 5 says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. So he created some kind of booth and sat under it in the shade till he might see what will become of the city. Oh, you know, he was wanting to see how God was going to destroy them. He wanted to see whether or not they was going to still be destroyed even after they were repented. He wanted to see this. So let's look at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, some kind of shade thing. It came up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd, because guess what? The gourd was some type of, you know, shade tree material, whatever, that came up naturally that would cover him from the sun. He was glad about that. Oh, yeah, he's cooling now. So let's look at verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Okay, so the gourd that God put up for him, the next day God allowed a worm to come eat it down. Okay, now can you imagine Jonah's attitude? Let's keep reading verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon his head. Beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. And he wishing himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah wanted all things to be done like he wanted. He wanted his cake, and he wanted to eat it too, as they say. He wanted shade. He wanted to feel good and comfortable. And then God let him feel good and comfortable for a while. Then God removed it. Then God let him feel good and, you know, cool for a while. Then God removed it. And so when God was doing all these things to Jonah, Jonah wanted to die. He wanted to give up because things wasn't going his way. And that is what I'm saying in this message about God's purpose for our lives. It is not going to go our way all the time. I'm not saying we have a heart like Jonah. We're not talking about the way his heart was, but perhaps there are people that God have to continue to show them. And even ourselves, he take us through trials, and he chastised those he loves, and we have to accept that. We're not all right all the time. We don't make all the right decisions all the time. Why is there even, the Bible says he chastised those he loves. So if he doesn't love us, and we're not his children, we're bastards. Let me say it like that. So he loved those that he chastised, and those he chastised he loved, because he wanted to keep us right. So here is like a bit of chastisement for Jonah. God protecting him, and then, you know, allowing the scorching stuff to be all on the head, make them really hot to feel like giving up. You ever felt like that because things weren't going your way? You can't quite get it together. You take one step forward and two steps back. Lord, you don't know what's going on. Okay, well, you need to just put yourself in the place where you can worship and pray and get in God's presence so that you won't get frustrated about these things. That's what we have to do. And we may not always feel like we want to do it, but we have to. So we can have peace. Verse 9 says, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He's asking him a question. angry? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, not made, nor did you made it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. So now God get ready to make a point here. Real quick here to broadcast about the end. God is ready to make a point to you and I as he did with Jonah. So many times we can have our focus in the wrong view. But this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have focus on eternal perspective, on souls. That's what our whole life and purpose is for, as I said earlier. So now God is asking Jonah, you had pity on the gourd. You hated that it went down, it died, the worm ate it up. But look at verse 11. And should I have not spared Nineveh? You want me to have pity on the gourd to protect you from the heat and the scorch and all this kind of stuff, but you didn't want to have pity on all these souls that was going to perish and die? You didn't even want to come to preach people that needed their soul saved. But yet you care about this gourd that I allow a worm to come and eat it down. So he said, wherein are more 60,000 persons. See, look at all these people. All these thousands of people that cannot discern between their right hand and the left hand. They wasn't saved. They didn't know the Lord. Jonah didn't care. Correction. This is a chastisement for Jonah that God is telling him, you care about a gourd, you care about being cool, but you don't care about these souls. You just care about everything going right for you. But you don't care about these souls that's going to perish if they don't repent. That's what God is telling us as well about our purpose. Also, much cattle that they be able to eat and live. Even with Queen Esther, you know, going to the tryouts to be queen, that probably was all she knew. She didn't know that God was going to raise her up for such a time as that to save the whole nation of the Jewish people. She didn't know that. But she quick found out. And Mordecai, her uncle, told her. Her uncle told her that if you think that you are in there, in the palace just to save yourself, and you don't have mercy and go before the king to speak a word to save us, God will raise up somebody else and you'll perish. You'll perish. So we just thank God for the word that he's given us. And Hunkle was the one that God raised up to help her life be blessed, to fulfill her purpose. We have to have that in our lives. We have to have that in our lives. So we just praise God today for his word. And God always give us a word because he wants us to grow in his grace and grow in his word so that we can bless, of course, and bring glory to God. Bring glory to his name. Hallelujah. Raised up for his purpose. Raised up to bring him his will into the earth. That's what it's all about. We don't really see it all at one time, but God has purpose for us. God has purpose for our lives. May the Lord continue to keep you and bless you, and may you find the peace and the strength to seek the Lord. Find out his purpose in your life. Hallelujah. So God bless you. And until next time, I'm Linda Schuler, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.